Welcome to this edition of the Ute Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports.
And I'm Joseph Silverzweig of Silverzweig Enterprise.
I love that it's become that. All right, well, hey, so it's kind of a crazy episode. You know, normally we hit with our quick hitters and our...
Kuzma.
Watch. Kuzma. So, but we're going to save that for a little bit later. We're going to do some quick hitters, talk about the UCLA game and its impacts, and then we'll get into a Kuzma watch, because thanks to some news on Yahoo, Kuzma watch is more than just a quick hitter.
A special edition of Kuzma watch, because there's a lot to watch.
Yeah, it's going crazy.
It's intense.
Literally.
It's intense, yeah.
But, all right, so quick hitters. Gymnastics, still on their road stretch. They beat UCLA.
Really good score, too. Remember last week we talked about getting the good road scores. You want that mid-197 range, and they nailed it against UCLA.
And yet their ranking went down. They went from third to fourth, I believe it is, or
right.
Something along those lines.
People are saying, well, why are you behind UCLA if you beat UCLA on their own mats? But... it doesn't work that way.
It's not about head-to-head.
Yeah, it's none of that matters. So you have to kind of adjust your expectations from, you know, you're used to basketball and football where it's kind of more nebulous. It's just numbers, just the math of how well they perform.
Exactly. And I believe Michaela Skinner won another Pac-12 Gymnast of the Week. Who's surprised?
It's deja vu. Nobody.
I mean,
she's amazing.
Their PR person is just copying and pasting now. I mean, she doesn't even have to. Whoever's doing it doesn't have to do anything.
And I love her. And they do it on purpose, right? Because her ferocity and her competitive intensity is what generates the animosity. Is what generates the animosity towards her. And that feature is one of my favorite things about her, and I think it's one of a lot of Ute fans, gymnastics fans' favorite things about her. And they do it on purpose. They take the pictures where she's pumping her fist, and she's got this really aggressive expression on her face, and people get upset about that because gymnastics is supposed to be, kind of girly, feminine. I feel like there's some sexism there. They expect them to act like ladies when they beat the crap out of the other ladies, but Michaela Skinner doesn't. She's a badass, and I like it.
No, I think Utah fans, I mean, we all know she punched the cougar last year.
Right, that kind of stuff. And it's awesome.
It gets the average fan more engaged. And ultimately, they're the highest attended women's sports team in the country. So take that, Gym Turnette, or whatever we're calling them now. Other updates to know about baseball. We're playing Nebraska in Arizona this weekend. The Pac-12 Swimming and Diving Championships are this weekend, so go Utes there. Sad, well, I don't know if I'd say sad, but tough loss, losing by a point to USC for women's basketball.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
And UCLA on Saturday.
And then I want to touch on, not go too much into it, but Arizona right now, some new allegations, and I'm not even going to say what they are, but you look them up. They were horrible, horrible stuff that happened to students, female students, and female staffers, like athletic department staffers. And then you've got Rich Rod resigning, which of course is tied up at all that. This new thing with Alonzo Trier, performance-enhancing drugs that he tested positive for. He may not be playing. We'll talk more about that later. And Arizona's at the heart of the FBI investigation. I would say definitely with these new details involving the students and staffers, on a level with Baylor, Penn State, in terms of, well, you know what they didn't do, or it hasn't been shown that they've done yet? It's covered up.
True.
They found out about this Rich Rod stuff, and they canned him like that.
Right. So here's the whole thing, is the level of Baylor and Penn State. So Penn State had the rough punishment, but that's over with now. It was a few years of slap on the hand, and they're back at it. And Baylor, to my knowledge, hasn't been punished at all.
So I don't think so.
I mean, Baylor is
that doesn't mean
repulsive.
They're not going to be. These things take forever.
I'm sorry. The NCAA takes way too long.
Way too long.
Baylor shouldn't have a football program. I'm sorry. And neither should Penn State, honestly. This is ridiculous. And the fact that Arizona, I mean, getting accused of these things, whether it's allegations or not, Rich Rod resigning, cheerers taking PEDs, I mean, I'm sorry. Where's the NCAA? They have no backbone. They have no investigative skills. I know they can't subpoena information and everything, but this is ridiculous.
I mean, that's the problem.
And the fact that the NCAA president...
The problem is, and I don't want to get too much into federal policy here, which is not something I usually talk about on podcasts. I usually talk about it in other places. But the problem is the NCAA is a nonprofit organization basing everything that it does on contracts with very high power, high leverage partners. And that doesn't make any sense. If you want to have any kind of meaningful oversight, you need to have court power. You need to be able to haul these guys into court, or at least an administrative court. I mean, the NCAA should be some kind of government administered thing that has the power to do subpoenas or do those kinds of things. And if you can't, if there's constitutional reasons or policy reasons why you don't want that, which there are, or at least good arguments why you shouldn't do that, then there shouldn't be an NCAA, and you should do something where the incentive structure is different and the power structure is different, because it doesn't work. I mean, it really doesn't work, and the only people who do well by it are the people who are already in charge, and they don't treat the less powerful people in a good way, and they take advantage of the amateurism stuff in every possible way they can. And I mean, ultimately, if this kind of thing, if you can run a football program with rampant, violent sexual assault being part and parcel of how you do business, and you don't get in trouble, like even a little bit of trouble, I tell you, that's a pretty broken system. And some of it falls on the local government, right? Like Pennsylvania's attorney general should be hanging everybody in that whole university up to dry. And the same down in Texas. And it's a disgraceful that that's not happening. And that kind of falls on the local government. But again, I don't want to get too much into this. If you guys are interested, I love to talk to you about it, because government policy is my professional area of expertise. But you're here to talk about the Utes, so I want to kind of move on before I get too into the weeds.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we all understand they don't have the legal power, and that's the unfortunate thing. But it's ridiculous how much is public knowledge, and they're still not doing
anything. Nothing happens.
No,
it's ridiculous. They're just playing basketball, playing football.
Make us money, and we're good. So let's talk about a basketball game. There was a basketball game last night.
A great basketball game involving a slender, fair-haired savior from beyond the three-point arc. It was amazing. It was Jimmer-esque.
Whoa.
And I watched that shot. I mean, obviously,
nothing is Jimmer-esque on this podcast. We don't use that terminology,
but
Joseph.
What it was that amazed me watching him take that shot is it doesn't look like it's a good shot. Like, if you just watch the delivery.
Look, that play was not, that was not what was supposed to happen.
I mean,
the shot clock was down.
He was like, what the heck? I'll throw it up there. And,
well,
and then he goes back and he's
Joseph,
looking for
he had
high
no choice.
Fives. And nobody's like, I'm not going to give you a high five for taking that terrible shot. I'm glad it went in. But it was.
So let's do some clarification here. First, the shot clock was over. Like,
I know.
It was either shoot it or no shot at all.
I know. I'm not being too hard.
Two, he wasn't turning around to get high fives. That was pure celebration. His teammates were all behind him. He wasn't looking for high fives from anybody.
He was a little bit. He was.
No.
They left him hanging just a little.
That was pure celebration.
A little bit.
Here's my question to you.
I loved it.
Did you doubt any time during that game that Utah was going to pull out the win?
No, I felt pretty confident.
Yeah, I kind of was surprised. Like, even
they're feeling it, you know? They've got that rhythm and that.
I mean, they were playing really well. And they were stopping UCLA's offense. And the more that happened, the more confident I was that they were going to win that game, no matter what happened.
UCLA is all about this really efficient, clean offense. They don't turn the ball over. They get a lot of assists. They move the ball around a lot. And that wasn't happening for them, and that's a good sign.
Totally. I mean, the other thing is, I'll say to Utah fans, you guys know, at least, I don't know if I would say that the podcast, definitely me, have been critical of Collette most of the season, and now the guy can't miss a shot, so you're all welcome. He's clearly trying to prove us wrong.
Collette listens to the podcast. And definitely. He says, what does Grant think I should do?
His play is clearly an endorsement of the fact that he's listening to this podcast. Yes. I mean,
now it's Collette-endorsed podcast.
Well,
big news.
Unofficially, Collette-endorsed. Look, Collette, reach out to us. Let us know. If you endorse us, we'll definitely let the world know. Unofficially, though, based on your play, clearly trying to prove me wrong.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, here's the other thing that's kind of been interesting this season. And on Twitter, it seems like these three people have taken the most heat from Utah fans. And it is Collette, Van Dyke, and Tyler Rawson. And especially these last four games, last three games, and especially last night for Parker Van Dyke, they have been... Bibbins, yes, is clearly critical to this team, but like Rawson's making the right plays. Collette's can't miss a shot literally last night. I mean, they've been playing great, and there's just no argument to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I love most about the running Utes under Chris Kowiak is the way that they improve over the course of the season.
Great
and
coach.
It's so obvious to watch and see Coach K is doing something with these kids. I mean, Rawson is a totally, totally different player than he was
a year ago. Yeah.
It's really cool to see, and it gives so much hope and possibility even when a season starts out the way the Wisconsin did, where you just don't feel it. But the potential every single player in red has to get better by the end of the year is so big and so real that it's a different team. It's a different game. This game was totally different than the last UCLA-Utah game. And it's not just that it was in the Huntsman. It's not just luck and randomness, although that was certainly some of it. It's a different team they were playing. That's new players who are playing in a different way at a higher level than they were, and it's awesome. But Rawson, he had 15 against Washington State, 15 against Washington, and 12 last night. We can go all the way back to one of our very first basketball episodes this season where I was talking about Parker Van Dyke, and somebody in this room, and there's only two of us in this room, was telling me I was crazy and he was terrible and he shouldn't get any more minutes. And he was right, but he had a really good game last night and deserved
it. Cedric Fairfield, who?
Right.
Who's that guy?
It was great. Fairfield.
Here's my concern, though. So I want to... Standings wise, you know, the Utes are in third, tied with UCLA right now. They got USC and Arizona ahead of them. USC's tomorrow at 12:30 in the afternoon. And the question is, you know, we want that first round bye. And right now, what's nice is they solidly own their own destination, right? They get to decide where they go. If they win out, they get the first round bye, it seems. If they don't, then they won't. And that's the way it'll be.
They just need to get a first round bye with a loss to Colorado. The USC win is really important.
Right. But I mean, here's the other thing.
There's ways through this where they wind up in a 3 or a 4.
You know the easiest math?
Colorado loss.
Just win them.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, but they're not fighting for a four seed at this point. They have a shot at the two seed.
Two seed, totally.
That's a possibility.
Well, and then
to add to that, something I'm going to kind of segue into the next thing is all this stuff with Kuzma that we're about to talk about. It wasn't just Kuzma in that list. There was also Chimezie Metu, who is a star player for the Trojans, and Benny Boatwright, but he was already injured, so he can't play. But if USC is smart, if their legal team is in control of the situation, they're not going to let Metu play. Because yeah, that'll blow the whole season up. If they know, if they have reason to know that he's not eligible for some right reason, they play him, the season's blown up. So they don't play him, and that's what they do. And time and again, we've seen that the best way to keep the NCAA from coming after you is self-punishment. Is say, yeah, oh man, we really made a mistake. Here's how we're going to fix it. We're going to retroactively do this, and we're going to hold this player out. That kind of stuff really works because the NCAA would rather not get in a fight, and if they can sort of check off their list, they're happy. And you saw some of that with the maneuvering that the Utah senior AD and Coach K, in their responses, they're kind of setting themselves up for that same kind of strategy. But I think it's likely that you're not going to see Metu on Saturday. And then this thing with Alonzo Trier and performance-enhancing drugs, I mean, that's a good player in Arizona who may not be playing in the tournament. Utah could freaking win this thing.
Well, I mean, Oregon State had them on the ropes. Yeah, Arizona on the ropes
last
night. Utah
can win the Pac-12 tournament.
They can. There's one thing I say I'm concerned about. And as awesome as Justin Bibbins is, I'm worried he's going to get burned out. Because, look, Parker Van Dyke played out of his mind last night. It is not his regular style of play. That is not regular Parker Van Dyke, as much as I would love it to be. Bearfield being injured is putting all of the guard duty and the weight of that responsibility onto Bibbins. And I'm worried we're going to wear him out. He played all 40 minutes last night.
Right. I mean, Van Dyke had a really good game, played 34 minutes. It was great. But 40 minutes, he was on the floor every single minute. Now, one thing about Bibbins is he's a tiny little guy. He's
yeah, but you could tell how much he was worn down.
5'8". Yeah, that's true.
He was worn out last night.
But
you
I think
tell
that a smaller person probably has less wear and tear from that, so that maybe mitigates that a little bit. 40 minutes
I'm
is
not going to call that. Physical therapist, call us. Call in. Let's hear whether it smaller
you
are,
so
the
you
easier
think,
recovery.
Like, David Collette couldn't play 40 because he can't haul himself up and down the court like that.
But I don't know. But I don't know how much I buy that. Nor do I have a great counter argument against him. Okay. I don't know anything about the physical body except the, well, in the regards to athletes, except you should stretch before you play. Nice little warm up. Play the game, and then after game,
actually
you need
research
to cool down.
Stretching isn't as important.
Well, either way, that's what I
was. No one knows that anything. So I can just make it up, and if it sounds good, you'll believe me.
I just don't know. So either way, that's my one concern for this team. The team's playing great. All these players have been improving. The bench is improving, and actually, to some extent, dependable. I mean, Tillman played well last night. I mean, so here's... that's my concern, I guess, because you're going to play USC, you get a little bit of a break, you're going to play Colorado, and then you get to the Pac-12 tournament, hopefully a first-round bye, and then after that, you could be playing three straight games, and by the time you get to Arizona, potentially, in the final, or whoever you're getting in the final, if they're healthy and we still don't have Bearfield back, Bibbins is going to be on empty, and I just don't see that happening.
So tell me about Bearfield's injury. I don't know much of the details.
I don't know a lot of details myself. I know it happened in the warm-ups prior to the Washington State game, I believe, and that's when he got hurt. And it did seem, apparently Jace Johnson played a little bit last night. I did not see that half. The first half I was playing my own basketball game, so I got the second half.
Go fighting Grants.
Well, the team is definitely not named after me. But we did What's win by 34 name? Last night.
What's the team name?
Oh, it's just Church Ball. So there's Church no ball? Team name.
You don't have a team name?
Well, it's whatever your ward you're in. So oh, I guess.
No. I would think you exciting. Guys would like name it after a Bible verse or something. That'd be pretty great.
That'd be.
Or maybe sacrilegious. I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I think you could get away with it.
Either way, we could. It doesn't matter. Either way, I missed the time that Jace Johnson played last night. Damn. But clearly, I just don't think he's not 100%. And he got hurt in practice leading up to the Washington trip. So hopefully, as we get this break between USC and Colorado, and we're only playing one game, you know, play USC, then we play one game, and then it's the Pac-12 tourney. Hopefully we can get healthy. Hopefully the bye.
Extra helpful with the injuries. Yeah,
and so if we can get a key bench player in Jace Johnson back and get Bearfield back, I feel great about our chances in securing a bye, first round bye, in our performance in the Pac-12 tournament, and in getting to the NCAA tournament. Because not everyone on a bubble is going to continue riding high. That people are going to drop. They're going
to Utah's win over UCLA bumped up to 40 in RPI. And I mean, that's a really good place to be.
Yeah.
And the point that I made in my article that published yesterday is Utah's in a really good place, sort of structurally, tactically, to take advantage of the situation and, get to the tournament and put themselves in that good position and do well in that tournament and put themselves in a good position tactically. But statistically, they're also, if they do those things, they're going to make a case that is pretty unquestioned. If they beat USC and beat Colorado, they'll be in a really good spot in the tournament, but they'll also have beaten USC and Colorado. And then if they go on to win even one game in the tournament, I mean, that's a bunch of RPI top 100 wins that they rack up 1, 2, 3 right at the end. And
look, they're riding high at the right place
where it would be kind of a snub to not get it.
Well, we'll see. So, Kuzma watch. I think it's time.
It's time.
So, Pete, in case you guys
Pete
didn't
Thamel,
know.
Pete Thamel.
Pete. Good old Pete has some kind of source at the FBI, like you wouldn't believe. His article's like, I've reviewed several thousand pages of investigatory reports. I have no idea how he gets a hold of this stuff, but he does.
Have you seen Daredevil? The Netflix series.
Yes.
Well, the guy gets the girlfriend at the lawyer's office, and she faxes
That's
over
right.
all
See,
the
I was
documents.
Thinking, I was thinking the Ben Affleck movie, and I was like, something with
no,
size?
Yeah, I don't know how he gets it. Leather. But he drops the news that Kyle Kuzma supposedly accepted anywhere from like $9,500 to I've seen a report that it might be up to $12,000.
Along with, from an incidentally, agent. Dozens of other.
I mean, ultimately, this
NCAA
agent was dirty.
Basketball players.
Was it Dawkins?
This particular agent, A, is no longer an NBA agent. He had his
Can't
license to be an NBA agent stripped because he is such a
Was it
a
stripped
ball.
Or he gave it up? I can't
gave
remember.
It up
Either way, he
in
can't
the
do it
course
anymore.
Of them coming to take it away, which is the same thing.
Okay.
And so, I mean, he's a real sleazeball. And had been giving out loans and things like that to dozens, literally dozens of players. And this is just one ledger, right? There could be more.
I'm sure there were.
And I would say, preface all of this with saying, I don't blame, castigate in any way, feel negative feelings towards any of these kids. I mean, you think about, let's just use Kuzma as an example. His mom is living in Flint, Michigan, which is not a good place to live. It's the town that hasn't had clean water for
a long time.
For like a decade.
Yeah, it's been
ridiculous. And I mean, you know, you turn on the tap and it's brown and there's crime and there's poverty. $9,500 to get your mom and you through the last few months before that payday is more than forgivable, right? Like, absolutely, God bless. But
it is against the rules,
right?
And is a it's what it is, because I've had people say, well, isn't it a loan? It's just like if they got a school loan. But what it takes the character of from a legal perspective is it's an advance from an agent on the expectation of his professional earnings. So yep. it's professional benefit for his basketball acumen, whereas a Pell Grant, for example, is just something that a normal student can get and is not a special benefit, doesn't have anything to do with his athletic skill or with his relationship with Utah. So this is definitely an improper benefit. It's definitely a problem. I've seen this loan thing bouncing around as an excuse, and it's not an excuse. I mean, that may have been what this agent said.
Well, that's what his book said.
And he's less qualified, you know, less educated, but I don't mean educated. I just mean kids who aren't experts in this stuff maybe believe an agent would say, no, it's fine. I checked and it's not against the rules. I mean, they really want that $900 or $9,000 and they'll believe you.
But here's my thing. So did Kuz get this money? Probably.
Let's assume he did. I mean, it's alleged, right?
It's a ledger.
But it's pretty darn good.
Well, this is a ledger where the guy writes it out, right?
It's an alleged
ledger. I want to see the wire. I want to see the money going from the agent to Kuzma. The other thing about this is his mom didn't know about it. Larry Kay said he didn't know about it.
Said.
What? You don't think he did?
I do. I believe Larry Kay. I believe everything that I've heard throughout. My, you know, I don't want to say I'm an insider because I'm definitely not, but I'm in a position to talk to people who are insiders, and to a man and woman, they all say it's clean, it's a clean program, but it's so easy to think you're clean and convince yourself you're clean and not be clean.
Yeah, but I mean, how is he supposed to not? How is he not clean because Kuzma took some money?
Nothing.
That is absurd.
No, he's not, and I don't think that it has that impact. The only impact that this particular allegation has, in terms of a basketball NCAA fallout, is the idea that he played basketball while he was not eligible because he was being paid professionally.
Right.
And those the wins or successes arising out of that need to be vacated, which is not a big deal because they didn't win the national championship any of the years he was playing or anything like that. They did have a Sweet 16 year, but not a big deal, right? So I right. agree with that assessment, but it calls into question the credibility of this. We are as squeaky clean as a program gets. And when I say credibility, I don't mean people are lining up and lying to you or that there's a conspiracy. But it's so easy to miss this stuff. And it serves as a reminder that all it takes is one graduate assistant, right? And he's a little, you know, he's got a really good relationship with the boosters. That's how he got the job. And one of the boosters is like, hey, I really like this player. And then the next day, Larry says to him, hey, if you don't get this recruit in, you know, your job's on the line, buddy. And that's the kind of thing Larry Kay could say. And he doesn't at all mean, hey, give this guy $50,000, but he might really want the player and want the guy to do everything that he can. And then the guy does it, you know, he gets that money from the booster and he passes over the player and boom, you're a dirty program.
So let's
and
just
then,
clarify
and then
this.
Coach K says, hey, we're clean, right? You didn't do anything for us. Oh, no.
So
and you just
one,
believe it because it's easier.
This is a purely hypothetical.
Yeah, totally hypothetical. Let me double emphasize this is a hypothetical kind of situation that demonstrates how easy it is for a well-meaning director of a complicated large organization like the Utah basketball program to miss to have a lack of institutional control, right?
So,
that's what that means.
Sure.
Is that you didn't keep a close enough eye on your people to be sure, absolutely certain, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that nothing bad happened. And this that point, that institutional control is called into question.
So here's the thing, though. I think that it's absurd. Look, Larry K doesn't come out so adamantly and tell everyone how clean the program is and even bash on Kuzma's former high school who's supposedly trying to get 50 grand. He doesn't do that if there's an inkling of doubt that his program is clean. I bet he is like micromanaging this sucker to the point that he knows. Like, I'm sorry, if you think there's even a shadow of a doubt, you don't do that. You just don't come out as adamant and say, there is no way our room is... You might say, no, we're clean. As he would say, if he was worried that he didn't know, he would come out and say something along the lines, to my knowledge, this is a clean program. He would not come out and say, this is a clean program, period. Here's this story about Kuzma. So right. I just don't see... As much as a hypothetical,
Kuzma. I mean, there's no way he actually knew about this. I don't think
there's no way. What do you and how is the NCAA or the team? I'm to the point personally. It's like Kuzma gets money from an agent. His mother supposedly doesn't know. Kuzma does. Look, I'm sorry, Larry K's not supposed to know. What are these kids supposed to give access to these programs? Oh, so as a Utah scholarship athlete, we will need bank statements every quarter for all transactions that happen. Ridiculous. Like, and that's absurd. I'm sorry. They got to figure out the agent problem because that's the problem here. It's not whether Utah's dirty or whatnot, or in my mind, I don't have any evidence or any reason to not believe Dr. Chris Hill or Larry Kay and that the basketball program is clean. This is a player accepting money from a sleazeball agent who was trying to make sure he signed with him. Or, I mean, at this point, maybe he was already helping the FBI. So maybe he was sending the payment to try to line up another person so that Dawkins, who I believe has not been charged or pled guilty or anything yet, gets his rap sheet covered a little bit more so he doesn't get punished as badly. Like, there's the problem. And the problem is NCAA has no power. I don't see how they can do anything about an agent paying money to the players. There's just no way. And there's no reason a player should have to go to a school's compliance department and say, yeah, so here's access to my bank account and to my transactions and yada, yada, yada. Oh, and my parents, because they get payments too. Like, that's absurd.
It doesn't make sense. And with regard to these specific allegations and what specifically happened here, I don't disagree at all. And I don't think that you can make a good faith argument that this is a really, quote unquote, really bad thing. And I think it's important to recognize that there's a huge difference between a third party contacting a player mm-hmm. and offering them some money and some kind of promised exchange that may or may not take place. Kuzma didn't even sign with this guy with ASM. He signed with a different agent. And orchestrating the payment of significant sums of money to players and particularly to influencers of those players without the player's knowledge to steer them to a program. There's a big difference between recruiting corruption and agent corruption.
Right.
And arguably, agent corruption doesn't even implicate the program. And I think that's what Grant is saying. And I'm saying it doesn't, but it does raise for me a question of just how well Coach K knows.
See, but that's my problem. Is like, how is he supposed to know?
And that's fair. Like, you're saying knows this program as well as you possibly can, and there are some things you just can't know in this.
If this was like $40,000 and all of a sudden he drove up from one day, instead of driving up to practice in his busted down Civic, he drove up the next day in a brand new Ford F-150.
Really cool, like, fur coat that he wore. I don't know if you wore that before. If somebody shows up in a fur coat,
if there was something that could have possibly included off, then fine. But I'm sorry, this is not enough money to do that in my books. I'm sorry.
The underlying point that I think we're definitely agreeing on is that this doesn't cast the same kind of pall over Utah's basketball program that some of the other things do. And in fact,
the bribery?
Right. Yeah. I would say the reason that this stuff came out is because the FBI doesn't care about it. Because you read this thing and Thamel says, well, I reviewed hundreds or thousands of pages of documents. So why are we reading this one? The answer is there's no crime. Was it an NCAA violation? Yeah. Yes. But are you going to be able to pin this stuff as a corruptly influencing a course of business using a wire transfer under the statutes that they used in the original three indictments? I haven't done the legal analysis, but probably not. And that's probably why Thamel said, hey, this is explosive stuff from a news perspective. Can I have it? And the FBI source, whoever it is, says, yeah. Because we're not going to use it and we don't care. I mean, it's a little bit of a something to use as leverage, but that doesn't matter. And I think that's all true. And I think everybody, you can keep still chant U of Pay. You can still spell USC with a little dollar sign if that's your kind of thing, because they're different. But it's a problem. And for me, the big fear and the big concern that I have is that Utah basketball is now on the FBI radar. I mean, not to the same extent as some of these other programs, but they're going to be poking around. They are. Well, and when they poke around, they find stuff because that's their job.
So one, Chris Hill isn't scared of nothing from his statement.
His statement was perfect. You could not have written a better statement. It was
like,
great.
Bring it. Yeah. But
he said, let's find it. If there's something bad, we'll root it out. And that's exactly what he needed to say.
I will adjust your statement to say that Utah has already been in the FBI. We're just finding out today that it was on their records.
That's fair.
So I just don't see that the FBI is going to do anything. Like, up to this point, they haven't found anything else. All they found on Utah that we know about it.
I don't think you're going to see a Utah coach hauled in under an indictment or anything like that. I just worry. I just hate.
You're Mr. Worry Worry.
I hate the idea of having federal agents poking around up on the Hill. And I think that's a fair thing not to be excited about. And I'm sure Chris Hill is not excited about it. He'd rather those federal agents were somewhere else. But they're not. And I think that Utah is still well positioned to survive this, although look for some wins to be vacated, because it really looks like Kyle Kuzma was not eligible to play college basketball at a time when he was playing college basketball.
Right. And depending, I didn't see when the loans came across. I believe it was sometime in 2015.
I didn't pour through this stuff really close, but it looked like it was sometime in 2017. Right? 16? 17?
If it was 2016, then all we're doing is vacating his last season, which wasn't much. And if it was his...
it was 15.
Yeah, so 15 was the Sweet 16 year. So that...
out of a Spanish bank. God, what a sleazeball. Overseas wire transaction. This is why the FBI
tax
is
fraud,
involved,
baby.
By the way, is the way the money moves. And it goes from state to state and country to country, and that's what gets the FBI involved. If you're going to do something bad, keep it in state. Use cash so you're not pissing off the guys who are better at this than anyone else has ever been. Following money from one place to another, the FBI is so good at it. And oh man, there's a lot of people who are in a lot of trouble, and I don't think Utah's staff or players are among them, but
I'm okay with admitting I'm wrong.
Makes me sick to my stomach to think about.
All right, well, look, if you guys don't know, there are algorithms in iTunes and Google Play and all those places.
And, you don't say, Greg. Yeah. Tell me about the algorithms.
They, based on ratings, gives us more exposure. So if you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating. If you don't like our show and think we can improve, don't give us a rating. Just contact us and let us know what's wrong so we can get better. Email us at utalk@gmail.com or message us on Twitter, Utalk Podcast. Or myself or Joseph directly on Twitter. I'm Grant TBS.
I'm at Jay Silverswag. You can find me. I'm out there.
And we look forward to talking to you.
Can't wait.
Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes and go Ward. What Ward? for a 34-point victory.
Hey, it was a good win.
It was a good win. Go Utes.